Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Today's Crosswalk is pre-recorded from Truth Set Free.
I'm to glorify God in my parenting. I'm to glorify God in my business. I'm to glorify God in my friendships. I'm to glorify God in everything that I do. And you don't get a pass on this stuff. And so I think that you're rightly bringing up a point that people who claim to be Christians need to be paying attention to. Because if it's a situation where, for example, we're talking about whether or not we do health insurance versus abortion, abortion's a bigger deal than health insurance. And if we're talking about a situation where we're talking about, I don't know, it's like there's all these things that people get into that where they're trying to justify a vote for somebody that frankly has stances that are wicked. And I don't see it. I think that these people are unserious about their faith. And so it's something that needs to be paid attention to. I certainly started paying attention to it when I became a Christian. And so I would have been somebody that would have voted Democrat. I was a teenager when I became a Christian. And so when I first voted, I voted Republican. And I specifically voted Republican, not on monetary or governmental issues, but specifically on issues of morality. Because one party was into specifically abortion, and the other party, there were guys in that party that were lukewarm on the whole abortion issue, but it was the party that was against abortion. And so that was one of my main issues. And then there were other issues that come up. You know, for example, one of the things that just drives me crazy about both parties is that they're taking tax money and they're using it to take care of the poor. That is not the government's job. That is the church's job. And so there are people who think that what they are doing is they're being good to the poor. They would never give a dime to somebody who's standing on a street corner, you know, poor, because they think that what they've done is they basically tithed to the government and then that takes care of the poor. That is not what we're called to do. That makes me nuts. And so when people have that attitude, I'm just makes me nuts. I may be kind to them when I'm talking to them, but on the inside, I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? The government does all kinds of things very badly. And so I was a welfare kid. I don't like welfare at all. It's always been a boondoggle and a waste of money and has actually caused huge problems in people's families, including mine. And so there's a lot of stuff that really bugs me about what politicians do, and I'm not even confining that to Democrat politicians, but biblical morality, issues of biblical morality, the whole idea of right and wrong and righteousness and all that kind of thing. There are things that take place in political circles where people have the gall to start making moral declarations, and they're some of the most wicked people I've ever seen, and I just don't like that. You know, it's like, get a clue. They make stances on things that God calls abominations and think that they're righteous in the stance that they make, and they are not. If I was ever a politician, I'd have a lot of fun with somebody that, you know, started popping off on morality. It would be pointed and it would probably get lots of hits on, yeah. on the
Well, I mean, that's one of the confusions, right? We have a presidential candidate like Kamala who identifies with the Third Baptist Church of San Francisco, which is like an excommunicated, unbiblical, woke, gospel-denying church. And so she says, I'm religious, I'm a Christian, but then she believes in abortion and gay marriage and all the things that the Bible calls unbelievers.
Yeah. And, you know, and she's a mess to her staff and all kinds of things. And so, you know, it's like, I don't want to pick on the lady radically, but she is not a believer. That is not a Christian.
Right.
You know, and so a Christian looks like something. And so you can see it. And I don't think Trump is a Christian either. I don't think that the guy knows the Lord yet. I think that he puts Christians around himself. Mm-hmm. And he's way closer to biblical morality than obviously Kamala Harris is.
As far as policy, for sure.
Yeah, as far as policy and that kind of stuff. And so that's what I'm looking at. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. You have this situation where we're all going to stand before the Lord. There's a passage where Jesus is speaking, and he says, for every idle word that men speak, they're going to give an account of it in the day of the judgment. And so I understand that my voting practices are going to get judged. I understand that the way I treat people is going to get judged. All these things are going to be judged by the Lord. And they're judged right now, as a matter of fact, by the Lord. And so I have to repent of things and, you know, walk with God and that kind of thing. And this is another one of those issues. And so somebody who thinks that they put it on another level, somebody who thinks that they can do Jesus in church on Sunday and then go out and rip people off in business on Monday is not somebody who's serious about their faith. Mm. They don't know what they're talking about. And somebody who thinks that they can do Jesus on Sunday and then, you know, go out and treat their family like garbage on Monday, that's nonsense. That is not a walk with God. And so, you know, same kind of stuff. All of these things matter. And we're supposed to be light and salt. There's a whole movement within specifically evangelical Christianity to move towards the left. And again, it's the world infiltrating. And so Christianity Today is a leftist magazine. And it's one of those things, I know where these guys are coming from, and it's messed up. You know, when you're talking about leftism, what we're basically talking about is in our country is Marxism. That's what we're talking about. And Marxism is communism. Probably 3/4 of my family was butchered by communists in Russia. And so I'm half German. There's a German population that moved to Russia to farm Russian land. And when the Marxists took over, the whole communist philosophy, you know, they didn't know what they were doing with farming. And so they came in, they put these quotas on the farmers. And if you didn't meet the quota, you know, they literally came in and took all their food. One of the reasons that they had to do this is because they just divvied up land, gave it to people who didn't know how to farm. And so they had one of the biggest famines that the world's seen during the time of Stalin. And so then they come in and they start making quotas on farmers. And if you kept any of the food back for your family, if you hid your own food, for example, they would take the man out and shoot him. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. Communists are messed up people. These are people who do not believe in God. And every time it's been tried, it's been a complete failure. And people who are naive think that this whole idea that you pass things out and you share everything is some kind of biblical principle. And the Bible says if you won't work, then you shouldn't eat. And that's the way that this is supposed to work. And then on top of it, we're supposed to be kind to people and sharing with people and that kind of stuff. My mom used to say that communism was the purest form of Christianity until I became a Christian and I schooled her on what the Bible has to say. And then she changed that, never used it again on me. So need to watch out for this stuff. When you go through the book of Jeremiah specifically, I think that everybody who looks at these issues specifically the social issues, and thinks that they can vote for stuff that the Bible calls wickedness, needs to go through and read the book of Jeremiah. God destroyed the nation of Judah because of that specific misconception. Destroyed that nation because of that. And specifically for some of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the gay agenda, when we're talking about what you do with babies and that kind of stuff, God wiped them out. They went into captivity for 70 years. And then most of them didn't come back. And so he's serious about this stuff, and I think that we need to take it seriously.
And I think the people that don't understand, because this is why I brought up the debate. I think Kamala won that debate.
I think she won on basically, what would you call it, looks.
Yeah. So if I was going to...
Not on substance.
Yeah. Not on substance, but she had a long
perception.
Time... Perception.
Yeah.
Because every news channel is going to take her typical salad sandwich sentences. She didn't do that.
Right.
Somehow she got
it's amazing rid of, what happens when you practice, huh?
Yeah. Somehow she was able to
remove
the cackle for like none of that stuff. And she baited Trump on a lot of stuff, and I didn't think his response on a lot of stuff was very good or tactful. He looked angry. So
I've never thought that Trump was a great debater.
He's not really. Yeah. He's a good crowd guy, and he speaks to live audience as well and different things, but he's not a good debater. Yeah. But on perceptions, from what I think people thought Kamala was going to do, and then the whole Biden-Trump thing and setting that up, she's going to be the winner from that debate, in my opinion.
Right.
And what happens is you have Christians who don't read Jeremiah, who don't read the Bible, and then they look at the debate and they see what she says, and she's a nice person. She's fun to hang out with, but has the morality of the woke abortion, kill, and it got brought up. And this is the other thing that frustrated me is the panel, the moderators, jumped in and they had statistics and quotes written down, so that when he responded, and some of this was on the abortion issue and stuff like that, they were firing back on in the debate and like entering in. So anyway,
I watched the whole thing, and they were wrong.
And they were wrong on that stuff.
Yeah. And so, for example, he's talking about babies being killed after they're born. It was the woman moderator, I can't remember, Lindsay, that said that there's no state in the union where that's legal. That's nonsense. That's what happens routinely for aborted fetuses that are alive. They set them aside and they allow them to die. Mm-hmm. And so that's legal in a number of states in the United States. And so it's just, the moderator didn't, either they don't know what they're talking about or they're lying.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think that they do know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they don't seem like dumb people.
Right. And so that's a lie. And again, it's like, that's not a news person. That's not a journalist. That's a propagandist.
So why do you think we live in a time the culture, the Christian culture, can look at Trump, and you already said you don't think he's a believer. Right. So we're not pinning Christian versus unbeliever here. Mm-hmm. But they can look at Trump and get mad for his tweets and his look and the way he talks, and vote against the policies that line up closer to biblical morality, and embrace somebody who's so far off that you can, through Scripture, define her as a pagan unbeliever with unbiblical morality. And they get that convoluted.
Who wants to force it on the United States.
Yeah. Why do you think we live in a time where the Christian cult, and I know I'm painting with a broad brush, but there's a sect of Christian culture that doesn't, that there's no critical thinking skills here. They're just lost in this mess.
I don't think it's even an issue of critical thinking. I think it's an issue of priority. I think it's an issue of fear. I think it's an issue of wanting to look good. I think it's an issue of basically just looking at the outward appearance versus looking at the reality of what's taken place. And so that's been the struggle with people all down through the ages. It's like even Samuel goes up to the sons of Jesse and says, "Oh, surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And God goes, "I've rejected him." And, one after another, "Do you have any other sons?" "Well, there's David." And then David comes, skipping up, and he's just a kid. And God goes, don't you look on the outward appearance. I'm God, I look at the heart. And so we should be doing the same thing. You can tell what's in a person's heart by what they do, by what they say. And most times, it's what they say connected with what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's lots of people. Yeah, this is one of those things where in business or actually in church situations, I get people coming up to me all the time saying all kinds of stuff. In the business world, it's exactly the same thing. When somebody's talking my ear off, I'm stepping back and paying attention. When they're talking me up, I'm stepping back and I'm paying attention because usually what they want is something. And I've got something and they want it. And a lot of times it's my money. You know, and so in the business world, and when we're talking about in church, you know, they want some kind of influence, they want some kind of, you know, so talkers who are obviously polished and, you know, share a lot, reticent about them. I've just grown up with this. I'm cynical, you know, and so I just watch out for these things. So
yeah,
most politicians, that's where they're at.
Yeah,
they'll say anything to get elected.
You've been a believer for a long time. You've been a pastor for a long time. You've been an American for a long time. Did you ever thought that you would see this climate of everything we just discussed in the last few minutes in America in your lifetime?
I didn't believe it. You know, some of the stuff that we're talking about, I mean, Ms. Harris has said that she wants to give illegal aliens money for sexual transitions. It's like, so you're gonna take money from taxpayers and do this ungodly thing with these people who aren't even American citizens. And it's like, that's compassion to her.
Right.
And that's craziness.
Crazy.
You know, I never would have thought that that's where we would be in the time that we're living in.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you guys have all heard of a frog in boiling water. You know, what happens is, you know, and the story goes, if you want to boil a frog without him jumping out of the pan, then what you do is you start off with cool water and you just turn the temperature up slowly. And that's exactly what's happening with us. And pretty soon you got a frog boiling in water. Never tried that, but that's, you know, that's the illustration. And I think that's where the United States is. So when you have Christians who are okay with that kind of obscene type of policy, you have somebody that is not taking their walk with God seriously.
Moving on, changing topics a little bit here. Here is my next one. Can you explain why some people believe in dispensations and others covenant theology?
Usually that, well, you know what? When we're talking about covenant theology, basically, there are basically three covenants. And covenant theology is something that basically came from Catholicism. And so when you're talking about covenant theology, you have basically three covenants: the covenant of works, covenant of redemption, covenant of grace. And so covenant of works would be under, it's the Adamic time before Adam sinned. And so there was a promise that if Adam was obedient, that he would have eternal life, and that was before the fall. Then you have the covenant of redemption that starts after that point and goes all the way up into New Testament times, and then you have the covenant of grace. And so they divide it up that way. And one of the problems with it is it doesn't actually deal with the biblical covenants.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like an overarching way of looking at the Bible. And the real problem with it is that it minimizes Israel. It actually replaces Israel.
Right, the church is Israel thing.
Yeah, and so basically what they do is they say that God got rid of Israel and the church has been grafted into Israel and has taken over Israel, and so now the church is Israel. That has major problems, and the problems are these: that God has made specific promises to the sons of Jacob, to the physical descendants of Jacob, that he was going to give them land, nation, and a blessing. And this is where some of the covenants come in, or the actual biblical covenants. You have the Abrahamic covenant, yep. You have the Davidic covenant. Yep. You have the Deuteronomic covenant and so on. You have the new covenant. The new covenant was actually given to Israel. We just talked about this last week on Wednesday night. Those covenants have to be fulfilled. God has said that certain things are going to take place. And what happens with covenant theology, and again, I think it's a misnomer in that it doesn't actually deal with the covenants in Scripture. The problem with covenant theology is that it doesn't deal adequately with the promises that God made to Israel, which he said are going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. And so...
Okay, so I've just been going through this, and so you're way ahead of me in my journey of eschatology and stuff, but one thing I realized, which was crucial to me, and you said it before, but it just kind of gelled as I've been doing my own studies, is that a lot of the Reformation, a lot of people that hold these views, and there's a bunch of things that tie together. He'll unpack dispensations in a minute for the person that's asking. But they adopted Catholic eschatology.
Right.
And exactly. So their interpretation method in these things takes the allegorical method, which is why the covenants, instead of a literal covenant, and you've already mentioned the Abrahamic and the Davidic, literal covenant and what those meant in the interpretation, they allegorize it and throw in like works and grace and these other things into a covenant based on stuff they pull out of Scripture. But that interpretation method points you into a different way that the Bible lays out eschatology, allegorical versus a literal interpretation.
Right.
And then major views are formed in those two camps. That's a huge insight that I'm now beginning to put together because it comes up in everything that you get into.
Right, yeah. And so, when you're talking about covenant, again, covenant theology is a leftover from Roman Catholicism. And so when you go back and you look at what was happening at the time that these attitudes toward Scripture were being formed, you had a real problem between the church and the Jews. The Jews had been involved in persecuting the church under the Roman Empire. And so consequently, guys who are reading the Old Testament, seeing these promises to the nation of Israel, have a problem with that. So the way that they dealt with it is, okay, well, is that Israel can't be the kind of Israel that we're seeing right now. It can be because, number one, they had Jesus killed, and number two, look at what they're doing to us, and how could God ever, deal with these people? And that was the attitude that they had. And so there was a whole system of theology, eschatology specifically, that was built on the fact that they believed that God had rejected finally and completely the Jewish nation. Mm-hmm. And that is not what the Bible says.
Right.
And in fact, the Bible is very clear on the fact that God's going to bring them back in. Romans chapter 11, which, by the way, covenant theologians like to use.
Really?
To try to prove covenant theology. The passage itself says that God's going to bring the nation of Israel. And Paul's talking about the nation of Israel. He says he's going to bring them back. And the whole premise behind covenant theology is that everybody who comes into a relationship with Christ becomes part of Israel. Well, there's no bringing back something that you already have. that's ridiculous. And so their whole method of interpretation of Romans chapter 11 is kind of goofy.
And when you follow that through and you get to the book of Revelation, God's focus on Israel, how the church is woven into that, the fact that Israel stands alone, major verses that talk about what countries and end-time scenarios get convoluted because of that interpretation method that's all the way down the line here.
Right, yeah. And so you can't have a literal promise of God that he is going to bring the nation of Israel back to the land of Israel in covenant theology.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, please email me at crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail or text message to 707-872-7677. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you've been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk. Oh,
King is come.